B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Put it up.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Adam Schefter is going to join us at 8 o'clock today. And, you know, it's not just our typical catch-up with Mr. Adam Schefter today, Trey. No, it's not. I know we're going to get some basketball questions in there. Bob, we always love to talk to NBA Adam.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, he's not that far removed from doing a basketball game just last week.
That's right.
So we're going to have some fun right there. He's in Indiana. We thought he was out there maybe for the combine. Yeah, a little early. But today, there's a couple little tidbits revolving around our Philadelphia Eagles. First up is the name Darius Slay that we talked about a little bit yesterday, Trey. Right. And you know, we want him here. It's going to cost a pretty penny. You're going to have to pay the guy about $14 million per year. It ain't my money. But I know that one of my cornerback positions will be very much locked down. So I want to see what the odds are of the Eagles getting involved in a trade like that for Darius Slay. And whether or not they'll have the money to do so. Right now, after this other tidbit happened yesterday, Nigel Bradham is no longer with the Eagles. The Eagles have around $40 million worth of cap space.
Look at that.
Hey. Oh, what are we going to do with that? Is Howie going to wow me? Let's see. We'll find out. We'll see if Adam Schefter can give us any more reason to have some hope. And then, this is the world we live in. Bob, Bob, you remember studying journalism? You studied journalism, right?
Did
you major in it? Your dad was a journalist. Waste of time, Bob. You should have just invented social media like 20 years ago. We'd all be in a better place.
My fault. Sorry.
This is what we do today for journalism. Stefan Diggs, Bob. Wiped his Instagram, Twitter, social media, Snapchat, even though it disappears on its own. It's just clean.
Is it weird I trust that more than any reporter ever?
No. That's Jamie, congratulations. You are a reporter.
Yes!
That's how it works.
I'm a journalist, Bob.
Trey, did you go on Instagram today?
No. But this morning?
All right, I'm going to hold on to this Pulitzer. You're not going to get it. Oh, this morning?
Yeah, yes. If I went on Instagram this morning?
Yeah, this morning?
No.
Did you go last night?
No.
All right, I'm going to hold
on. You're not getting the big puddle of sweat.
Yeah, I had a big puddle of sweat. I was busy.
You're not getting the pulse.
I was in a spin until you bleed.
How long were you on the bike today, my friend?
45 minutes.
You look great.
Thank you. Yeah, I did a 45-minute hit and climb.
I do.
In all spandex.
All spandex.
Yeah.
That's big can of thunder.
I put on my, you know, just in case I need to be aerodynamic.
That's big. Big can of thunder indoor style.
Yeah, indoor style.
Stationary.
Yeah.
Yet still moving.
All spandex. Sweating.
That is, that's a beautiful thing.
Bobby, it's so awesome. I'm down there by myself. I could just get down there and do it however I want to.
Yeah.
So Stefan Diggs wiped clean all his social media of all his Vikings attire. Like anything that was Vikings related, he was like, deuces, I'm out of here. He was already, there's already some trouble that was brewing in Minnesota land. Stefan Diggs will turn 27 in November. So obviously he starts season 26 years old. Phenomenally talented. He's 26 years old. He's a burner in the league. He's got great hands. The man runs precise routes when you need him to as well. Well, what I'm saying is he can run that slant and take it 60 yards, or he can run that fly pattern and end up in the end zone, you know, 60 yards down the field, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's pretty damn good at catching a football. I would love to see him go from that ugly purple to the lovely midnight green. Love to see it. And now he might be available. I know the Patriots, that's one of the first names that came out and one of the first teams that came out in terms of, oh, well, how can the Patriots orchestrate a trade? Well, when we talk to Adam Schefter today at 8 o'clock, we can see how the Eagles might get involved in not only Darius Slay, like we talked about yesterday, but also wide receiver Stefan Diggs. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, but the draft. The NFL draft should have all these players available as wide receiver position. Yeah, do you trust Howie Roseman? Do you trust that? Can you look me in the eyes, Trey, and tell me that you trust Howie Roseman? Can you look me in the eyes? No, you cannot.
Yeah. I love you, Howie.
Like, here we go.
Could do, I guess.
Diggs.
It's been pretty cool. I've known him for a while.
Really? Yeah. No, you don't say.
Yeah.
You probably remember when he was like the
intern.
You know what? Good for him. Yeah. Working his way up.
Yeah,
I never held that against him.
Yeah.
Just more so the proof in the pudding.
No, that was for a very long time now.
So, Darius Slay, Stephon Diggs. I don't think it'll be both. I'm not getting crazy here. But we'll find out from Adam Schefter today, 8 o'clock, just how close the Eagles could be to pulling off a deal that would make your secondary substantially better, and how much a deal with bringing in Stephon Diggs would make your wide receiving core substantially better.
If you had to take one or the other, who would you take
Stephon
first?
Diggs.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Take
the weapon. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Because your number one player, you want to surround with players. So, I would take Stephon Diggs in a heartbeat.
I would make Stephon Diggs my player apology to Carson Wentz. That's what I would make.
My player apology.
Like, I'm really sorry that Alshon's can be Alshonimus. I'm really sorry that a guy like DeSean Jackson that we brought back here is going to be 33 years old. I'm sorry he was gone all last year. Here's a 26-year-old version of DeSean Jackson. Let me go ahead and get you that version of a wide receiver right now. Sorry about everything else. That's kind of the direction that I think the Eagles should go.
Yeah.
I want them to get that weapon for Carson. That's what I want to see. So we'll cover all that a little bit later in the show. Again, with Nigel Bradham being out, saves the Eagles about $4.5 million worth of cap space and now puts them just around $40 million of cap space in total this year. Also, can't open the show without a little hat tip to those Philadelphia Flyers getting a great 5-1 victory last night over the Columbus Blue Jackets. TK, he's special. How much were you beaming, Bob? How much were you beaming?
You know, it's just a constant. I just find myself in a constant state of just happiness. You know, I when he does something, it's not that I jump up and down. It's not that I feel the smile grow on my face. It's just like a proud father watching his son. It's just that constant look of proudness that overcomes me when I watch this team,
aww,
especially number 11.
Aww.
Yeah.
You're going to make me cry.
I may have shed a tear last night on one of his assists. I mean, that's how good he is.
You're making me misty-eyed.
Yeah.
You know, just as a new father, you're getting me in the feels, my friend.
Yeah. They're a fun team to watch. They really are fun.
They don't get enough credit for how much fun they can be.
Yeah. They move. They pass. And you're going to get the mistakes because they're still kind of young and whatever, and you don't expect them to be at the top of the division or anything like that. But, man, they are fun to watch. It's like almost for the first time in a long time, they figured out, oh, wow, hockey's a fast game now, so we're not going to go big. Let's go fast.
Mm.
And they figured it out, and they got a lot of really nice players.
Well, here's what happened last night that made you feel like, oh, my God, could something happen here? There were two fluke goals last night.
Yeah.
One was Sean Couturier. I think you said afterwards, like, there's no accidents on the stat sheet, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him. There's no way you meant to do that. You were clearly trying to take the puck wide and go behind the goalie, not through the goalie.
Right.
And whatever, you score the goal. So, whatever. It counts. It all counts the same, Trey. What do they always say? It's not. They don't ask how. They ask how many.
As long as you get in there.
You got in there.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Life lesson for all
doesn't
the kids.
No matter how you get it in, just get it in. Right?
Get in.
Are we asking questions?
No.
Is it asking questions?
No, not at all.
That's what she said.
And then Travis Konechny with the heel. I don't even want to call it the heel of the stick, even though that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like the toenail that barely grazed the puck and it went into the net. Like, barely on a deflection, went into the net. And then, it wasn't even weird, it was just awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Claude Giroux could come up with that assist on his knees on the power play.
Yeah.
Things are going the right way for the Flyers.
They have 15 shots on net and 5 goals and 1 called back.
I saw last night that is the most goals scored in a game where they didn't shoot more than 15 shots.
Oh, is that right?
Ever. Wow. Ever in Flyers history.
Wow.
I think our friend John Clark had that stat yesterday. It was a great win by the Flyers last night, and they need every ounce of these points going forward. It's a tough stretch they have in front of them right now. It's the home-and-home series with the Blue Jackets, who are just ahead of them in the standings going into last night. Flyers get their 72nd and 73rd point last night in the win. Great win for the Flyers last night. Kevin Hayes also, again involved heavily in this one. And TK making things happen. Another win for Carter Hart in net at home. His road and home numbers are just insane in terms of the disparity between the two of them. But a great win for the Flyers last night. Enjoyed watching every second of that one. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on today. And then, I don't know if you guys saw this. This was a dumpster fire. This is why the term dumpster fire is not to be used just in the literal sense. Like, oh my God, a dumpster fire. No, it's now how you would describe the way Major League Baseball has been handling the Astros scandal.
Step one, don't call your league's trophy a piece of metal.
That is...
That's kind of just like basic.
Especially when it's the commissioner calling it and it's the commissioner trophy.
Yeah.
That's
kind of weird.
I have been... I remember being at press conferences. There's a couple of them where... Or, you know, just listening to interviews and thinking, I wonder how that guy's going to enjoy his suspension. when it's a player, if it's a coach. And then maybe other times it's like, well, this guy's not going to be in office for a long time. And when I say in office, I'm talking about a front office.
For his f***ing son.
Yeah, that was one of them. But listening to Rob Manfred make that comment yesterday, I thought we were kind of done with this. And then Major League Baseball did something stupid and decided to speak about it again. If I'm Rob Manfred, if I'm Major League Baseball, I don't even have the press conference yesterday.
Just let it go. I release
a statement.
Okay.
Because guess what? You can just put out a couple of sentences. You don't have to worry about walking into a brick wall time and time again or stepping into that fire that's in the dumpster. I just released a statement saying, my mistake, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. Did not mean to call it the World Series trophy, a piece of metal, and degraded, basically, is what he did. That's what I would do if I was a commissioner. But instead, this guy decides to get in front of a microphone that was turned on in front of a group of people. And that was just a horrible mistake, again, by him. We have, people want to make a big deal out of the apologizing for the trophy, and that's true. That wasn't even the worst thing, as far as I'm concerned,
from
yesterday. The clip that I saw going around on Twitter that really stuck out to me about this press conference with Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, was where he told you about the players' confessions. And then they said, well, what type of evidence did you have? And he's like, oh, the players told us. The players told you they were doing it in the postseason?
When guys get caught cheating on their wives out there and the wife's like, all right, you know, why don't you fess up now? Now's the time. Tell me what's going on. You think guys actually tell them everything that's happened?
No, I was at Jamie's house. No, I was at Jamie's house. We were playing video games, FIFA, and that was it.
Tell me they don't fess up to every single sin they've had?
I haven't seen her since college, baby. like, come on. No, they
wiggle. Who fires a Rob Manfred?
The owners. The owners
have to just get together and be like, you're out.
And they could honestly just have a meeting with one word being said by the owners. Dude! And then he's like, I'm sorry. And then he would leave. That would be the end of it. Yeah. You can't botch this anymore. The fact that this was a player-driven scandal and no players are punished, you have told the rest of Major League Baseball, every other player in the league, you have told them, it's all right to cheat as long as you're sorry. Like, cool. That's awesome. Hey, you know what? Baseball wanted to take up all this, oh, we're so mad about steroids, because what about the kids? Well, you just told kids it's totally fine to cheat as long as you're sorry when you get caught. But hey, I hope you enjoyed that parade. Hope you enjoyed that piece of metal, right? I mean, Justin Turner put it out perfectly 2 days ago now with the Dodgers, saying the only thing degrading about that quote-unquote piece of metal is that the commissioner's name's on it. And I was like, touche. Very well played. But when I think about what's going to happen next, there's no way Manfred can continue to be baseball's commissioner.
He's got
to
be out immediately. Immediately. He's an embarrassment. Dude. He's more than an embarrassment to the sport. I mean, and you're right, Mark. Giving him an open mic and having people stand in front of him with the ability to ask questions, like, whose idea was that?
I know that a lot of people, we tend to quote movies every once in a while on the show.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but think of, shut your mouth, you're coming off as stupid. Like, shut your mouth, you're coming off as stupid. And Rob Manfred yesterday, and we have I don't want to even call it a smoking gun, but we have a moment yesterday where he was addressing the media that I thought he just should have stepped up. Somebody should have taken the mic from him and said, dude, you need to back the hell off. Like, it's over. You had a nice run of, what, maybe 5 years as baseball's, 6 years as baseball's commissioner?
Step already? Off, George.
You're yeah. done.
Step off.
You're done.
How about him saying, you know, I was surprised at the negative outreach from all the players in the league.
Then you haven't done your research.
Then you're an idiot. What? How are you surprised by that?
LeBron James even commented on it. LeBron James is like, I know I'm not in baseball, but I feel like I'm still in sports and can comment. And he just laid the commissioner out in a tweet yesterday. A two-part tweet, Trey.
Two-part.
I you know how much I had to rehearse saying a two-part tweet, Trey? See, I almost messed it up that time. it's wild. We'll get into it throughout the show today, obviously. We also have a story that, Trey, I have only... I've only heard the legend of such.
Uh-huh.
But you found a story that did have a picture.
Yeah.
Of a service animal on a flight.
Yeah.
In first class.
In first class.
I'll say that. And, Trey, could you please reveal for the audience what the nature or species of that service animal was?
Well, it's a horse that's dressed in latex, so it kind of looks like it's into the BDSM. So, not really sure what's going on there.
I didn't expect that part of it.
But when you look at the horse.
Yes.
I mean, it's a miniature horse.
He looks like he's into the freaky deaky.
Yeah, and he's dressed in latex.
Yes.
So, I
what
mean,
else are you to assume?
I thought he was a superhero. I thought he was a superhero miniature horse.
Thinking that maybe this is, you know.
Or miniature pony is the term, I believe.
I'm not sure.
All right.
He's Little Sebastian.
He's Little Sebastian.
Little Sebastian.
Yeah.
In latex.
And that was somebody's comfort animal on a flight.
You're damn right it is.
I said.
Yeah. I mean, you put the little horse in latex. I mean, you know.
I once sat next to a flight attendant who was just commuting home. Like, she was off for the day or whatever, and she's gone home. And we got to talking. Nice lady. And she told me that the service animal thing is getting out of control.
Yeah.
And I try to have an open mind about it. Like, okay, would I want my dog in storage basically below the plane, or would I want the dog with me? And I'd want the dog with me. But the people that have them running about, that's a little much for people, because you also have to take into account some people are allergic to dogs. And then guess what? If I'm on a plane, I can't go anywhere. So when I looked at it, or when I was talking to this lady, she goes, yeah, do you know that I've seen a snake on a plane? And I was like,
that's a movie.
I was like, they made a movie about it with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And she goes, you're not going to believe this. I saw a miniature pony. I go, what?
Yeah.
How did it fit? And she goes, well, you have to be sitting in first class or a bulkhead in order to have the pony.
Right? And you have to buy the seat for it?
I asked. She said she didn't know.
Well, it's My Little Pony.
So anyway, a woman went on a flight with a miniature pony.
Yeah, dressed in latex.
Dressed.
Let's not forget.
The pony does look like the pony fights crime. The pony looks like the pony fights crime.
Absolutely fights crime. Right. Yeah, yes it does.
So we're going to have some fun with that story a little bit later in the program. We still have our courting on the court going on right now, where you can go to 975thefanatic.com.
My little pony, my little pony. What is friendship all about?
The internet is beautiful. The internet never forgets.
Oh, it speeds up.
Wow. Well, this is the remix, I believe, of My Little Pony. Can you still buy little ponies?
I think so.
They run. Are they out there?
Yeah.
Anybody get Skylar a little My Little Pony?
She's got a little unicorn thing that moves around. She chases.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
She chases.
Okay. All right. How is the unicorn dressed?
Kinky. Leather bondage. Assless chaps.
Yeah, there you go.
Excuse me, all chaps are assless.
Oh, as they should be.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
Otherwise, they're pants.
It's redundant, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And it has a safe word. just in case.
In case you forget.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've all been there when you... No, okay. So, yeah, can you buy My Little Pony stuff still?
I think so.
We'll research.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that a little bit later in the show. And then two other things we'll get into throughout the program today. One will be revolving around the Philadelphia Phillies. Because of weird things said yesterday in baseball, nothing can compare to Rob Manfred. But Joe Girardi saying that it is going to be a fight, a battle, I don't know what adjective he used, between the herald at arms of Vince Velasquez and Nick Pivetta for the fifth starter spot in the Phillies rotation.
Okay.
And I'm like, do we really even have to do this?
Y'all smoking crack!
Let it happen.
Like, there's a battle for the fifth starter spot in the Phillies rotation.
It's just temporary.
It is temporary because, and look, I never root for injury, but when it's happened 2 years in a row and that guy ain't getting any younger, like Jake Arrieta, like Mr. Tight Pants himself, guess what, son? It's not going to be a battle. You're going to be at least the fourth starter.
Somebody's got to hold the spot until old Spencer Howard's here.
Yeah, pretty much is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That got said yesterday. I don't think anyone's really looking forward to that battle between those two and the back end of the rotation.
Ah, Pivetta on Saturday. First start. Let's go.
Nick Pivetta was your number two starter this year. Jake Arrieta's healthy. You got Zach Wheeler. And now all of a sudden, Nick Pivetta is battling for your... He's a fringe fifth starter in your rotation. So, I guess Eflin has solidified the number four spot?
Looks like it.
Or, excuse me, number four spot.
Yeah.
All right.
Arrieta, three. Eflin, four.
Go get him, boys. Go get him!
You know, one of my takeaways from this also, when I was listening to Bryce Harper's interview the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, you know, I was sitting around and talking with the missus said, did you make enough moves to compete? Yeah, that's concerning. When the missus looked you in the eye and she's like, you know.
Have you guys, like, done enough?
Have you guys, do you think you did enough?
She's like, I'll see you at the end of September, right? Because there's no October run for you, right? And Bryce is like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, you know. I think we did, babe. I don't know.
Well, I'm happy that they talk about it within their home. I'm glad it's conversation that's out there and had in an open circle. Good for them.
The missus sit you down and say, look, look, you know, before you eat this breakfast, do you think you did enough? You know. All right, I see you at training camp, but, you know, just let that settle in.
Let it settle in.
Yeah.
Let it settle in.
I mean, my bad. I said training camp. Go on down to spring training. Yeah, know? I'm sorry.
Yeah, training camp is hard. Spring training is fun.
Yeah, spring training looks amazing.
It's where they practice home run trots.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Little drills, you know. Yeah. You got little leg kick.
Sprint 35 feet.
Oh, it looks
call
so
it
amazing.
Day.
It looks fun. The weather is good. You do this drill right here. Or you're circling your arms and you go backwards.
A lot of stretching.
You know, a lot of, like, you know, okay, let's stretch that hammy. Get your hammies nice. You know, a little toe touch.
Is there anything better than a football player talking about spring training?
Hey, let's bring the heel up to the glutes right here. Oh, let that stretch sink in, babe. Let it sink in. All right, here we go. Let's go play some ball.
Let's go get some.
While I'm sitting at Lehigh, just like, why the hell is everything uphill? Can we go downhill?
Yeah, I thought it was a valley.
Yeah, there was nothing downhill.
Nope.
Suck.
I'm awesome. Sorry that you had to go through that.
Every time I look at spring training, it just looks so amazing. It looks so fun. The weather's nice. It's beautiful.
We should have you take BP with the Phillies at some point.
Just beautiful.
When's the last time you touched a baseball bat?
Oh, man, I was in Jacksonville, man, and I got in a batting cage with this girl that was, she was a pitcher. Her dad was from around this way, and the girl went to, you know, UF or something like that. She was a softball pitcher.
Okay.
And yeah, it did not go well.
She was firing?
Oh, dude, like, I think I fractured something in my wrist. It was, you know, it was not good, man. I mean, I didn't even get close to the ball. It was, yeah, she was nasty.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And then the final thing, and yes, there is nothing better than listening to a football player talk about spring training.
It looks amazing, though.
It does look amazing.
It looks fun.
It looks like it's
especially when they do this drill, when they're walking, you know, and they flip the arms back and forth. If they're, like, checking which direction the wind is in. It's just amazing.
Swatting flies is what they're doing.
Yeah, swatting flies.
We got plenty of things to get into with the Phillies. And then finally, it feels like forever, but the 76ers back in action tomorrow night when they take on the Brooklyn Nets. No Kyrie Irving is playing. He's not playing in the game. And this is, it's going to be something interesting to watch here. And I just want them to win. It's what matters above anything else. But I think what goes into that is team chemistry. Mm-hmm. And there is a deliberate effort right now, I believe, by Joel Embiid to show the love to Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Isn't that one of their old team slogans? Show you love?
Show you love. Yeah. I think it was. And I think it was Lou Williams.
Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Show you love.
Show you love, Lou Williams. And then I think the following year was, hey, run with us. And I was like, no, I'm going to sit down.
Running's awful. I roll my ankles.
Terrible marketing. But I look at it and I think that right now, Joel Embiid, through, again, what do we start by saying? Social media is now journalism. Hmm. Through social media, Joel Embiid has now put all the love. He's showering his brother, to quote him, Ben Simmons, with the love. Even putting on Instagram last night the video of Ben Simmons slapping him in his behind during the All-Star game last night. And I was right in my theory. My theory was that JoJo did not know who was slapping him, giving him the old good hustle on the arsh during the game. And he turned around ready to throw hands until he saw it was his boy, quote unquote.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love is in the air.
Oh, that was you? Oh, okay. That's awesome.
He was pleasantly surprised.
He's surprised. Oh, that's good. Thank you. I'm glad it was you.
As long as it was you.
Yeah. So will there be a return butt slap?
I would assume that tomorrow night there's a return butt slap.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's awesome. A big old return.
This might be a theme for the last 27 games of the season.
That's awesome. Long as they don't get to the point where, you remember when the Texans, I believe, this in the season there, where there was like a...
I forget who that was. Yeah, but they like tickled the butt or something.
No.
Sam, what were you watching?
No, the one in the dugout.
That was on that hub that you be watching. That hub platform that you be watching. But I'm talking about where you had the Texans where they came out and there was like a frontal, you know,
there was crash
each other. Yeah, they where they checked each other's.
Oh, right. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Because we don't go that far.
Right. No,
I don't think they will.
We need to stop. That's it.
Yeah. Trey, I remember what I was talking about. It was the guy that grinded on the trainer.
Whoa!
You remember that?
Her mind goes places, Trey.
It was the Rockies.
You're trying to talk about all these hub movies that you've been watching. Now, I mean,
Sam, before you tell me about what you watch, can you just
I was watching
ask
the
my
MLB.
Mom if it's okay that you tell me this stuff?
So that's the category that is under right there. That you
MLB. Yeah, MLB.
MLB. Yeah.
MLB freaks.
All right.
Cool. So Bob, I believe you were in the right that the 76ers with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are going to be showering each other with affection.
Yeah.
To dispel any rumors that they hate each other and can't play with one another and they can't wait till the other's gone. Like, no. That's not how it's going to go down. These guys are going to be besties. They're going to love on each other. And that's pretty much what Joel Embiid has started since the All-Star break.
Yeah, it seems like they thrive on having some kind of a theme. So I think the theme for the rest of the year is brotherly love, and those two will show it. Hopefully not in the way that Sam likes to watch it, but, in their own special way.
I'm not buying it until he has pictures in the candy room.
Ah.
Gotta get in the candy room.
Just his head under one of the dispensers.
He has to be in the candy room.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what kind of shoes do you wear in the candy room? I mean, do you go socks?
I think you gotta go socks, yeah.
If it's a candy room, it sounds like socks. Not gonna lie. All right, we got Anthony in Baltimore. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll let you hear Commissioner Rob Manfred. I'll say, for now, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. We'll let you hear one of the worst moments he had during his press conference yesterday. Time of the Fanatic is 6:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour here on 97.5. The Fanatic is brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. Before we play Manfred, Anthony's been holding here once again to Stephon Diggs. Anthony in Baltimore. Welcome in, man. You want Diggs?
What do you think?
Well, sometimes there are naysayers, Anthony, that I don't really appreciate. So it sounds like you like them.
Oh, yeah, I do, buddy. I love them. Matter of fact, first, let me get this in. Morning, Mark, Trey, Bob, Bro, and Sam. Morning to you all. I don't know if you remember, I called you guys last summer. I got my FanFest tickets because I told you I never get to call in because of work, but I'm always listening, even when I'm working underwater because I'm a diver.
Ah, appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, that's, I remember that call. Yeah, man. Awesome, what's going on? Yeah,
but this morning,
Wait a minute. What do you dive? Like, what do you mean you're a diver?
Well, we build bridges and such, Trey.
Oh, that's like, awesome. You know,
work on concrete pilings underwater that hold up structures, foundation works, and such. But, yeah, I heard 5 o'clock hour, I heard them guys, you know, Bro and Bob talking about the Stefon Diggs news, and I was like, I'm going to be late for work today because I got to talk to these guys.
All right.
And before I move on, I also want to give a big, huge, sarcastic thank you to your show because now I definitely have to give, after the 10th million, that's what she said, drop, I definitely have to give my 6-year-old and 4-year-old the birds and bees talk.
You know what? Just put them on the phone with us, Anthony. We'll take care of it for you.
I already dropped them off and take care of it.
There you go. Awesome, man.
But, yeah, it's like I might set up like a Jeopardy question type ordeal. One of the answers will be, what is the hibbity-dibbity?
You see, I there's a way you could say things with the kids still being in the car where it's all right.
Yeah, man, you guys crack me up, man. Love
thanks,
the show,
bro. Thanks, Anthony.
I'm going to go get to work. Hey, let's get Stefon Diggs. Bring him in.
There you go. Go get him. Build your bridges, Anthony. Thank you.
All right.
Take it easy, man. See, there's, you know, before, I think, like 9 o'clock is, you know, when the kids go in school. So, like, for instance, if we have visitors, if we have friendly ladies that come
friendly
to...
Friendly ladies.
Yeah. Yes. I generally, I like to have them after 9 o'clock, yes. Right? You know, but, you
of
know...
Course.
But this is a room full of dudes, and then, you know, we have Sam that can
she's
tell
a
us...
Dude. She's a dude. She's our dude.
She was the one talking to us about the hub a second ago. So in a way, she's educating us.
Yeah.
But, you know, just every once in a while, a room full of dudes, there's going to be conversation that might be of the adult variety. And you just try to code it in a certain way so that the big people in the car and the little people in the car don't know.
I mean, we're not savages.
No! No. Come on! Yeah.
Make whoopee maybe yeah, another
no,
way.
Exactly. Trey, do you have a Manscaped retail? Okay, so anyway, Rob Manfred addressed the media yesterday, commissioner of Major League Baseball, for now. Like, what's the term for a president that's like, you know, he's like had two terms, and he's like, no, when he's on his way out. Is it just president? Is there a word for a president that after, like, well, Obama had two terms, like, he's almost done? Like, what's the word?
Is he
for
a lame duck commissioner?
No, it's a nicer term than that. But anyway... Lame, we'll call it, for lack of a better phrase, lame duck commissioner Rob Manfred yesterday on what I thought was the dumbest thing I heard during his press conference when he was asked. But well, here's the Q&A with the reporter. Take a listen.
The Astros players who said that they were not using the trash can system at that time because you couldn't hear it. How were the Astros relaying signs during the postseason?
The garbage can signaling went on in the postseason. I mean, there was conflicting evidence on that point, but... You know, in an investigation, you often have conflicting evidence, and it was my view that the more credible evidence was that they continued to use the scheme in the postseason.
Can you tell us what that evidence was?
Yeah, it was statements from players.
They told you!
Wow.
We had conflicting evidence. The players told you what happened. How is this difficult?
You know what? This sounds like, you know, have you ever gotten in trouble from your parents, and they were like, look, man, if you just tell me the truth...
Right.
We're going to let it slide, but I just need you to tell me the truth.
Right, yeah. Yes.
And that's exactly what happened.
Mm.
You know, hey, you know what? Hey, yeah, we cheated. Yeah, we beat the cans. Yes, we did this. All right, cool. All's forgiven.
Yeah, that's not how this should have gone down, though.
No.
I mean, players are affected financially through this. Like that. Like, I know the trophy is the number one thing and all that stuff, but like when you think about it, for the guy that had been in baseball the longest time, whatever, and hadn't won, okay, he won. But also, the guy that might be on his last paycheck, he could get, like, what, a 50 grand bonus for winning a World Series? Like, whatever it might be peanuts compared to the rest of their contract, but the guy that's on the end of the bench that might be done with baseball and figuring out what he's going to do next, like, the players get, they cost them money going forward.
They only get 50 Bowling. Grand for winning.
Probably more. Yeah. I'm just ballparking it. But I'm just saying, it costs them money. Like, players are affected resume-wise for being able to have World Series champion on there, and they're affected when it comes to the old wallet as well. And the commissioner, oh, well, we're just going to let this slide. No players are punished, even though it's the players that were doing this. Manager, sure, all right, we gave him a year of suspension, then he got fired. General manager, year of suspension, then he got fired. Players that orchestrated this whole thing, well, they told me and they said they're sorry, so we cool.
You can see it in their faces. They're really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we heard, yeah. You can see it in their face. I would love for somebody to ask Rob Manfred, all right, what about a guy like Mike Bolsinger? Who, the guy that we've talked about before, he went in for not even a third of an inning. I don't think he got an out. And got totally lit up by the Astros while they were cheating and never got back to the major leagues. And he's suing them for $31 million. How are you going to handle that? Mm-hmm. I would love to see his tongue just get totally tied while he's
Real
trying
quick,
to answer that question.
To your point, Mark. According to TMZ Sports, Major League Baseball announced a $438,901.57 bonus check Houston players received for their playoff games were the highest in league history.
Aww.
The 2014 San Fran Giants held the previous record with players receiving $392,000 in bonus checks.
Yeah. Let me get that.
Okay. All right. And you just want to, first off, you call the trophy a piece of battle. Let's say this. He agreed with all of us that said that was stupid.
Yeah.
So, all right. Good job, Commissioner.
He had a long day, Mark.
And then after that, he can't even get the evidence right?
That they told him?
Well, how did you know? Oh, well, they told us. Good work. What do you do here? Like, what is your job?
Yeah, right?
What the hell is your job,
man? Did you rehearse
this?
Did you talk to people before you came out here?
And then there has been just a slew of players. It now, by the way, not even just in baseball. LeBron James even commenting on
that's
it.
That's not good.
We'll get to that in a second as well, because he's still what you might call a influencer. Kevin Turner comes out and talks about it. Justin Turner comes out and talks about it. And then you have Nick Markakis of the Braves comes out and talks about it as well. A slew of players come out and just bash this. And somehow, magically, it's surprising to Rob Manfred. Take a listen.
It surprised me for two reasons, Evan. First, I've been around a long time, and I've never seen the kind of commentary from players about other players in the entire time that I've been involved.
Now, all right, that's just dumb. The fact that the players organize all the cheating that happened, and the players win a World Series in the process, and guys get rewarded contracts for what happened, throughout the cheating scandal, right? And you're surprised when none of the players get punished? All they had to do was say they were sorry. Think about that. This is Major League Baseball. It's a billion-dollar corporation, and all that had to happen was the guys that committed these violations, these guys just had to say they were sorry. That's it.
All you've done...
That's the end.
All you've done as a commissioner now is really let the inmates run the asylum. Now players are going to do and say whatever they want. He can go up there and say, look, we're not going to tolerate anybody plunking the Astros. Really?
Mm.
What are you going to do about it? That's all players can look at him and say right now. Really? What are you going to do about it? They cheated the game that you're the commissioner of and you did nothing to them. You're going to do something to me?
Mm.
And that's why these guys are all teeing off. Gloves are off. Forget about it. There's nobody ruling this organization. There's nobody ruling Major League Baseball right now. Nobody.
No, nobody. There's nobody in authority because
None.
No one's looked at as an authoritative figure right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
The other thing is that you mentioned getting hit by a pitch, right? The guys policing the game themselves as they tend to do in baseball. So yesterday, I believe it was the commissioner's office that also released that they're going to keep a closer eye on batters that are hit by pitches this year when they have the umpires confer with each other.
Yeah, they're going to get it right.
Yeah,
like they always do.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, this is after the line comes out of the Astros getting hit 83 and a half times.
Yeah.
This year, that's the line on how many times the Astros hitters are going to get hit by pitches throughout the course of the season, which if you compare it to last year would put them in about top five in Major League Baseball. 83 and a half. The next day, the commissioner's office says, you know what? We're going to police that a little bit closer and you're going to talk to managers will be ejected. Players will be ejected. Oh, wow. You're going to punish players who are punishing the players that you didn't punish.
Right.
Good work out of you there, Commissioner. I'm telling you right now, lame duck, whatever you want to call him, Rob Manfred can't be the Commissioner of Baseball. He has embarrassed the game beyond repair. I mean, look, here's the thing with baseball, and I know there was a little theory floated out yesterday about Manfred trying to almost turn heel in a way, because everything that's good needs a villain, right, to highlight how good it is.
Right.
This was in no way, shape, or form part of that game plan. It's just incompetence. It's sheer incompetence. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. When we come back, Trey, we'll talk about your latex pony, which is a phrase I've been really looking forward to saying on radio. Time of the Fanatic is 6:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Coming up later tonight, we do Adam Schefter, Stefan Diggs. Maybe
Stefan Diggs
getting his way out of Minnesota, which would be nice.
Hell yeah.
Bring him here. Bring him here to Philadelphia. He wants to, he's got some money. It's about $14 million.
It's really not that bad, though. No, I mean, like, I looked at his contract this morning. Mm-hmm. It actually decreases in his final year down to 12.5. So you have him through 2023 at basically 14, 14, 14, and then 12.5.
Is that a good thing with Howie? Because he likes to backload contracts and then cut the ass.
Yeah, well, that's what he did with Nigel Bradham. It was an adorable thought when he had signed, what was it, a five-year for 40?
Whenever I see...
Like, no, you didn't.
Whenever I see a football player sign anything more than 3 years, I'm like, aw. Look how excited he is. He sees a big number 5 next to that.
All that ever matters is that guaranteed money.
Oh, yeah. And we got into it yesterday, like when we were talking about Darius Slay, and he wants $14 million a year, around $14 million a year to be one of the highest paid corners in the league. And he's earned that. 3-time Pro Bowler coming off an old pro seat. Yeah, by all means, give it to him. When they start talking about those following years on that deal, oh, wow, $75 million contract? Yeah, it's not. The Trey, is it that much money?
What's that?
Is it $75 million? No, it never is in the NFL. As now, you played out your contract, so good on you.
Yes, I did.
But other players, not
two
so lucky.
Two contracts.
Because they ain't Zeus, man.
5 and a 6 year.
5 and a 6 year, yeah. That's all you needed, man.
That's all.
Yeah, you just had to sign your name twice.
That's it.
There you go. You're done.
Well, 3 times.
For the rookie year.
Yeah.
On the following day, after the day of the draft. Because you're like, I'm a little busy right now.
Yeah.
I'm what you call it in recovery. Fly.
Could not come up the day of the draft. No, that was not a good look.
Maybe you could have flown if you had your service horse with you.
Possibly. If I had a service horse.
But I don't believe service horses were allowed in 1998.
Yeah, back then, you could just walk on down to the gate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody could just get behind security and just hang out.
Right.
You know, it was a different time.
It was a much different time.
I remember flying into Atlanta one time and you could just buy some CDs and such. You know, cats just walk around. Hey, dog, you want to buy a CD?
Oh, you mean the bootleg copies.
Yeah, bootleg copies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you posted this story in one of our shared folders, and it's a story out of Michigan about a woman that wanted to bring her service horse onto a plane.
Yes.
Now, it's a miniature horse,
yes,
a miniature pony.
A little pony.
Named Fred.
Yeah. He's dressed in latex, though.
To the woman's credit, she bought 2 bulkhead seats in first class and had her miniature pony stand in front of her. Fred, the miniature pony, stand in front of her throughout the flight. The flight was from Grand Rapids, Michigan, to Dallas, Texas, to Ontario, California, which is the first time ever hearing of Ontario, California. So that's where they went.
How long were these flights?
I would assume it'd be all encompassing, like five, six hours.
Yeah.
If you're, I think about the travel overall, probably 8 or 9 hours going from Grand Rapids to Dallas and then Dallas to California.
Hmm.
So I would say all probably in air, maybe 5 to 6 hours.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
To her credit, again, 2 seats in first class. That took the bulkhead. But, as we all know, the first class passengers board first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after military personnel.
Yeah.
So then, think about this. Everybody that boarded the plane walked by a miniature pony as they boarded the flight.
Yeah.
And how was the miniature pony dressed, right?
It was dressed like an S&M character.
Now, I will have you know.
Yes.
Even maybe even this tickles your fancy more than the character that you just referenced there. Mm-hmm. The writer who covered the story for this Michigan paper, this Michigan news outlet, said that they looked like a wrestler from Nacho Libre.
Yeah, it did look like a Nacho Libre because of the colors and all.
The colors were very festive.
Yeah.
It's like a teal.
Yeah, it was definitely a teal. But my mind went to, oh, this pony looks like a, like it's into the, you know, into the bondage type vibe going on.
You're a sick man.
Yeah,
Trey.
I mean, you know.
Well,
it just looked a little weird.
But here's my only issue.
With a fanny pack.
With a fanny pack.
On top.
With
on
a safe leg. Word on it.
Yeah. Well, it looked like...
Mistletoe.
The safe word is service horse? What the hell? by the way, it looked like a saddle. Like, it literally looked like... Yeah. It looked like you could ride that thing off the flight.
Maybe she did.
Maybe. I don't know. But here's the thing. Through the stories I read about this, yes, multiple stories. Through the stories I read, it never says what the lady's problem was. Like, no. It never said, like, if she had anxiety, if she just need, if this horse could sense a storm. I don't know. Like, there's the issues. The barometric pressure. Some dogs do that for service animals on flights and all that. It never said what the woman's impairment was.
No, it didn't. Her name is Ronica Froze.
Yeah.
It's a great name.
Hmm.
Yeah.
These are the things we think about.
He was specially trained to make the high altitude trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's a legit service dog. He's a legit service animal is what I'm saying. And then the story also goes on to talk about how other people, I don't know, they're trained for the altitude.
But he was just trained to be able to take the flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that he was there to help her in any way.
No.
Can he help in an emergency exit?
That's what I'm saying.
Is he trained like that?
Do you get on him and yeah?
I don't think.
Like, what are we doing?
He would probably had to have been if they weren't sitting in first class.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Does he get free drinks? Does he get ice cream? These are the things I want to know.
Did he have a mimosa?
Yeah. She was taking him to California, I think, to learn how to be a service horse.
In what capacity, though? Like, what is he?
I don't know.
Horses.
She paid an arm and a leg for his ticket, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Horses defecate frequently.
How does that work?
Six hours.
You have a bag on there?
You bag it up?
I think that's what the latex probably was there for.
But then, isn't it just getting kind of squished against the poor little guy?
It's not helping the situation at all.
maybe it's like an anxiety blanket, like a weighted blanket. Maybe it makes it.
Maybe the
horse is looking at her like, this is my service human.
Like, if the horse passes wind, does she take the credit for, oh, no, that was me. Yeah. Wasn't the horse. No, that was me. I don't think I'd be real comfortable on a flight with a
horse.
The horse
does look like he needs a cape, though.
It does
like
look like
a cape would have really brought it home, you know.
Yeah.
Kate would have been nice.
Then it's a crime-fighting dog. Yeah. Or horse. Damn it.
Possibly.
I don't know. These are the things we think about. Graf in media. What's up, buddy?
I'm sorry. Just imagine.
Yes.
You're, like, on a plane, and it is the Hudson River. Okay? Like, you were on the Sully plane, right?
Yeah, right.
You landed that thing on the Hudson.
Mm.
And you're a Coast Guard rescue diver, and your job is to save a donkey.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.